What is going on, Bay Area sports fans? Welcome to the Bay Area Sports Talk Show with Cody Rodriguez. I'm your host, Cody Rodriguez, as always. No one knew. No one's ever going to take the show, really. We have a lot of news to cover going from the Bay Area that's been going on this week. We have some Niner news, along with some Raider news also, for your Raider fans out there. Not that many, from what I remember. We also have some more news and recaps. Them getting really closer to itching that playoff spot that they've been looking forward to. We got some Sharks news. They continue their winning ways. We'll go into that, and also some baseball recaps and previews for the Giants opening the series in LA. And the A's opening the series home against the Seattle Mariners. But let's start off with some football news. Everyone obviously loves some football. We'll start with the Niners. The Niners made two headlines this week. I don't really think they're really important, except for today. Today's is pretty important. But let's go from later on this week, where the Niners made it official that they signed for 1 year former Oakland Raider cornerback, Nonami Osunmogu to a one-year contract, and I think that's a good sign. It's a good sign. It's something that the Niners have been looking for and needed is cornerback depth, especially with Golson signing away later off in the offseason to another team. You know, he needed someone to fill his spot. I think Nonami is the perfect person to fill that spot, and the Niners did a smart move by not signing him to 2 years or 3 years, because they know and remember how up and down Nonami can get, especially when he was with the Eagles. And I think signing him to a 1 year deal is basically the perfect thing you want to do, because you're sitting there, you're like, okay, if he does bad, it's only for 1 year. We could cut him or give him the money or just deal with him for 1 year. But if he's good, then you can give him more years, more extend that contract, you know, whatever it needs to be done to keep him on the Niners defense. But it's more of, can Nonami be the Nonami that the Bay Area knows from Oakland, not the Nonami that everyone knows from Philadelphia. So that was that. And then also, too, earlier this morning, the Niners made it official also that they had signed to a 5-year extension contract to sign their tight end, you guys' favorite tight end, Anthony Davis, to a 5-year extension. And that's a good signing too. I mean, the way I look at it, because the way I look at it is that now you're securing yourself for 5 more years of Anthony Davis, and the way he's been lately, especially last year in the postseason and the regular season, to be in fact, I think Niners fans should be happy that the fact that they're going to keep Anthony Davis for 5 more years, and it gives you more options for Colin Kaepernick and see if he can connect with Anthony Davis a little bit more on the ongoing future. And then the Raiders also made a couple of headliners. Let's start off with Monday. Monday they make it official also too. Niners signed got traded for Colt McCoy. Is that really important? Do we have to talk about that? No. Also too, with the Raiders make it earlier this week, they have traded. Yeah. Okay, so the Raiders get it from a trade from the Seattle Seahawks quarterback Matt Flynn, and there are reports saying that Matt Flynn could be the number one quarterback going into the preseason. And if me being a Raider fan, I'm up and down with this. I know it's going to be a rough year being a Raider fan, especially with everything going on and whatsoever, but especially with putting Matt Flynn as your number one quarterback is going to be a little bit of rough, because I think so. I mean, quarterback is not the issue that we need to focus on. We need some right receivers, we need some defense, and we obviously need some offensive linemen. And with the Raiders making all these trades, and then there's reports saying they might get Geno Smith if no one gets them by the time their pick is up, they're just like quarterback. Like, quarterbacks are not the essential of what we need first. It's what we need, but it's not an essential. We need other priorities. We need to know our priorities first before making these trades. And I think the Maplin trade, I don't know. I am okay with the Maplin trade, but I just don't. I'm not okay with him being the number one starting quarterback. I think Terrell Pryor should be the starting quarterback and give him a chance. I mean, if you never give him a chance, then what is he there for? To be honest. Other than that, also too, it is official that the Raiders also with getting also Matt Flynn, they traded away to the Arizona Cardinals. Everyone's favorite quarterback for the past 2 years, Carson Palmer. And the Cardinals actually signed him for $20 million for 2 years, I believe. And this fits the Cardinals' needs for a quarterback. Now, that's a team that needs a quarterback. I mean, but they already have wide receivers with Larry Fitzgerald, and they already have running backs with Wells, and they have everything set that they need. They're a little bit off on the defense, but they also needed a quarterback. And with this trade, it's the best for both worlds because now the Cardinals have a very good starting quarterback with a little bit more experience than Kevin Kolb or Skelton, you know. And this also the way that Carson Palmer reacted to the trade is beyond professional. He said, you know, it's a business, and he's not going to take it seriously, and once you take it seriously, that's when your feelings get hurt. It's a business, and that's the perfect way to explain it. Stuff is going to happen. You're going to get traded when you don't want to get traded, but at least this way, Carson Palmer is going to be on a team that needs him and wants him, not being on a team where he takes a lower pay cut to be on the bench or whatever would happen. So good for Carson Palmer. I'm happy with that trade, and that is basically it. Let's go on with some basketball news. Warriors played Wednesday, and they were part of a historic night. Let's start this off. The Warriors, the Giants, the A's, and the Sharks all played on Wednesday night, and they are the first. It's the first time since 2007, I believe, in April, that all four teams won on the same night. All four barrier teams. So that's pretty cool to see in here. And it was a pretty busy night in Oakland and also the Bay Area. But the Warriors playing in it across the street is the A's. So we started off with the Warriors, the most important news right now. Magic number is 2-3 as of Friday night. The Warriors are this close to make it to the playoffs. And I think when the Warriors do make the playoffs, everyone will just have a sigh of relief, go, it's all over. With all the things that's been going on in the past with the Warriors, where they had a horrendous losing streak and everything, with the Warriors winning this game, making the playoffs at least, it gives Warrior fans something to be happy for and look forward to. Now, you have more Bay Area playoffs, you know, with the Giants, with the A's, the Sharks, with the Niners. Now you can get some with the Warriors. One day with the Raiders, but baby steps, baby steps. So we'll start off Wednesday night. Warriors facing against the New Orleans Hornets at Oracle Arena in front of Oracle's biggest fans. Golden State won 98-88, and before the game even started, the match number was put down to 4 with Utah losing, and then obviously with the Warriors winning, it pushed to 3. Scoring was going back and forth. It was a slow start for the Warriors in the first half. And it showed with them losing, trailing 10 points. But then everything came up. Everything came out good. Lee had 23 points with 16 rebounds. Another double-double, of course. Curry had 20 points and 9 assists. That's the Curry we all know. And the biggest stat I saw that I was pretty impressed with, Jared Jack had 19 points with 8 assists coming off the bench. That's what we need. We need bench productive coming out forward and everyone just coming together. You know, even though it was a slow start, It was great to see how the Warriors handled themselves going on with the playoffs and with the playoff talk and everything. It was great to see how they handled it. And now, like I said before, now the Warriors were at number 3 magic number to clinch a playoff spot. And here's our weekend preview for the Golden State Warriors. Friday night they play at Phoenix, and then Sunday they at Oracle Arena they play against the Utah Jazz. So maybe if Utah wins and the Lakers lose one game during the weekend, and Utah could be the eighth seed. What if the Warriors win on Friday night and go up to magic number 2, because you want Utah to win, and go Sunday night and then clinch all right there, beating Utah, go into the playoffs, and, you know, right in front of your home fans. Isn't that what every team, every player wants to do, is win the clinch of playoff spot in front of the home crowd? The A's got to do it, and it was great. The Giants got to do it. The Niners got to do it. And the Sharks usually do it every year. And hopefully the Warriors can do it. I'd rather see the Warriors clinch a playoff spot at home and give these Warrior fans, just show, give the fans, say, a big thank you for what they've done, and then clinch by clinching right there in front of a sold-out crowd. Because I'm pretty sure every game from now on, it's going to be sold out, especially with the way the Warriors are playing and them being in the playoffs and how close the tension is between the 6th seed and the 7th seed. Phoenix isn't, but honestly though, Phoenix isn't a really easy team to beat up on, especially at Phoenix. It would be a good game to watch, but the Phoenix is also having their struggles with players being healthy too. So I mean, the Warriors could take a break on that. So I think I'm going 2-0. Warriors go 2-0 on the weekend, winning Friday as a close game, and it's Sunday in a blowout. Putting that out there. Hopefully that happens. Usually my prediction, the opposite happens. Let's go with the standings right now. 6th seed, Golden State Warriors are at the 6th seed, like I said. 7th seed, Houston, one game behind Golden State. And the most interesting one we're looking at right now, 8th seed and 9th seed, LA Lakers and Utah Jazz. 4 games back from Golden State is the Lakers, and 4.5 games back is the Utah Jazz. So, like I said, Lakers will lose the game and Utah will win a game. That puts Utah at 8th seed, with the Warriors winning on Friday, clinch it all on Sunday. That's what I want to see. Let's go with some San Jose Sharks. San Jose Sharks played Monday night and Wednesday night. To be honest, I will say this, because Monday night, I did not get to watch the game. For obvious reasons, I was at the Oakland A's opening night game. So, but I did watch some highlights. I did watch a little bit of video. And, you know, it was a good game. It was going back and forth. The fans looked like they were really into how the Giants, not the Giants, wow. I look at my TV for 1 second, I saw a Giants commercial and I said Giants. The way the Sharks have been playing and the way that they're coming back and saying, no, we're not gonna be the team that's beating up on and start losing games and all this. They're taking a stand and they're starting to win some games, and it's showing off. But this way the Sharks won with 3-2 against Vancouver. They have won their 5th straight game right so far right now. And yeah, I think it was a big part of the second period where 3 goals were shot in the span of 2 minutes and 13 seconds against Vancouver's Corey Schneider. So that had a lot to do with it. And also with this win, also gives the Sharks a season sweep against Vancouver. Don't we all love that? A season sweep against Vancouver. I love that. So that was a good game to watch. And also, too, Wednesday game was probably the most interesting game to watch. This season, but it was a really good, interesting game. It was basically the former Sharks coming back to HB. Yay, Danny Heatley! Don't we all love Danny Heatley? Especially after right now, don't we all love Danny Heatley? but before that game even happened, news went out that the New York Rangers made a trade with the San Jose Sharks, sending Ryan Clough to New York Rangers. So all the years Clough has helped out the San Jose Sharks organization is going to be really appreciated. But him going, it was a much needed trade and much needed giveaway, because he has been unproductive for San Jose Sharks. And of course, his first game with the New York Rangers, what did he do? Scores his first 2 goals of the season. So, best of luck to Ryan Clough. He's on a better team now. Well, not a better team, but he has a better chance with the New York Rangers of making the Stanley Cup, in my opinion, than the San Jose Sharks, of how easy the East is compared to how hard the West is. So, all luck and and all good luck to Ryan Clough. But let's go on a much happier note. On Wednesday night against Minnesota, Sharks faced Sharks won 4-2, and it was a very good game. You know, Sharks came out strong for the first two goals of the game, but then out of nowhere, in just a matter of seconds, two goals are scored by former Sharks Danny Heatley and Coyle. Two goals in a matter of seconds. Former Sharks score against Anthony Niemi, making a 2-2 tie game. But then out of nowhere, the Sharks score, come back, and make it a 4-2 game thanks to Jumbo Thornton, captain, my captain. So, you know, and also helped out with Havlet, Boyle, and Gallardi with helping out with the Sharks and making these goals come through. And as of right now, the Sharks are now in the fifth seed, one game behind the LA Kings. So it's going back and forth right now with the LA Kings and the San Jose Sharks. So that's what you want to see. That's sort of the rivalry you want to see. So, I mean, if it comes down to an LA Kings San Jose playoffs first round, I don't want that. I really don't want that for obvious reasons. I'm okay with being the sixth seed, because that means we get to face the Vancouver Canucks. So, let's go through a San Jose Sharks weekend preview. Friday, they face the Calgary Flames at San Jose, and then Sunday early at 1 p.m. an early day start. Once again, they face against the Dallas Stars at HP Pavilion. Two games that the Sharks should easily win. The way that they've been playing and have been productive lately, the Sharks should easily win these games. And I think they go 2-0, continue the streak and make it go to eight game winning streak. You know, this is the Sharks that we saw in the beginning of the season. I think it's starting to come at the end of the season when the games start to matter. I wasn't really a fan of the Sharks losing the way they were in the middle of the season, but as long as they were doing that in the middle of the season, not at the end of the season, I could care less. At the end of the season, I want to see this team come out strong and hard and start winning games, and that's what they're doing right now. And they're starting to give me a little bit of hope. Especially with Antti Niemi. So that's that. 2-0. I am going with the Sharks preview. Let's talk about some San Francisco Giants. You know, that's, I'm pretty sure half the people listen to this don't want to hear San Francisco Giants, but hey, you know what? You got to do what you got to do. So as I predicted on Monday, I predicted that the Giants would go 2-1 in the series, and that happened. They went 2-1, but it happened a different outcome. I said that the Giants would win game one, lose game two, and win game three. What happened was they lost the opening day game against Kershaw, but won the next two. And we'll go into that right now. And it was going to the opening day. It was I lost 4-0 against the LA Dodgers, and you know, most Giants fans were very upset. And I said, you know, you still have 161 games left. Nothing to be upset about. I mean, I understand, because I even go into the A's game on Wednesday was, and when they scored two home runs in the first inning, I was pissed. I'll admit it, because I hate seeing what, like, two people score two home runs right off the bat in the first inning against one of our star pitchers. You know, I just hate seeing that. Yeah, it's the third game of the first inning, and I mean, I don't care. I hate seeing that stuff, so I'm gonna get mad. I'm gonna get pissed. So I can understand what Giants fans went through on opening day with a 4-0 loss, and it was going back and forth. It was a very, very tight pitching game between Kane and Kershaw, but, you know, it prevailed that Kershaw was the better pitcher, and obviously, we all know that in the MLB. George Contos came up in the eighth inning to relieve, and sure enough, Kershaw said basically to the bench, hey, if you're not going to do anything, I'll do something. And he hit a solo home run straight to center field. It wasn't a BS home run from a pitcher. It was a straight center field home run. And that gets the Dodgers on the board 1-0, and it starts a scoring frenzy that the Dodgers go on against the San Francisco Giants. And you know what? Kershaw also threw a complete game too. Complete game shutout, scored a home run. I believe Kershaw will be the first $200 million pitcher in the MLB. So Giants fans, get used to Kershaw, because I believe with the money the Dodgers have, he'll be there for a long time. But Tuesday, you know, Bonsai Bumgarner said, "All right, you can throw a complete shutout. I'll throw a shutout." He does. He throws a 3-0 shutout against the Los Angeles Dodgers on Game 2. Bumgarner just threw a shutout of his own, and you know, Bumgarner also took a book off of Kershaw. He said, "If you're not gonna score any runs, I'll do something about it." And Bumgarner comes up big along with Joaquin Arias, and basically is the key contributor to this 3-0 win, giving also Sergio Romo his first save of the year, hopefully of many for San Francisco Giants fans. And also on Wednesday on this series, I almost said season. I hope it was the season for the Giants. But the series finale for the Giants against the Dodgers. Let's come and honestly, I was going back and forth on this, because especially we have Beckett versus Lincecum, two shaky, two not really good pitchers. Giants fans are chewing me up and saying that Lincecum is probably the best pitcher on the rotation. False. It's shown. Lincecum is still shaky. He has two Cy Youngs, but he's still shaky. He's still the shaky pitcher that everyone knows. And it showed in the first inning, giving up a run, and it showed that Lincecum was still shaky, especially from last year and everything. Nothing was changed. But also, you know what, the Dodgers also threw out their shaky pitcher, Beckett, that they got from Boston. He was just as shaky, giving up three runs in the third inning, I believe. Also, thank you to Pablo Sandoval to a big home run that gave the Giants the lead early in the game. And you saw later in the game that the Dodgers try to come back and try to make a comeback and win the game, but it didn't prevail once the ninth inning came up and you put up Sergio Romo, even though Andre Ethier and all these guys came up the bat. It didn't matter. Sergio Romo was out there, got a second save of the year, and the Giants go on back to San Francisco to have their home opener, give the fans the celebration, another celebration basically, for World Series win number 2 in 3 years against the St. Louis Cardinals. And that would be an interesting series to go through. As of today, right now, actually I can say right now that the Giants are about to play. They're about to do a ceremony. They have a 3-game homestand against the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, our Giants fans love the St. Louis Cardinals. Don't we all? The Giants love Matt Holliday. Marco Scudo likes Matt Holliday. But it's gonna be a good series to watch, and also of course Beltran being there. And I put on Twitter, I said one of these previews I'm gonna do for the A's of Giants, someone's gonna be very disrespected about what I'm about to say, but I am predicting that the Giants go 1-2 in this series. They lose 2 games against the Cardinals, and it's just for the fact. It is the Cardinals we're talking about. The Cardinals are a good team. Friday, the home opener for San Diego Giants. The Cardinals are throwing Westbrook out there against the Giants' favorite Barry Zito. I said favorite because he was a favorite last year. That's about it. Saturday, Cardinals throw out their rookie top prospect, Shelby Miller. I can't wait to see Saturday's game, because Shelby Miller is probably one of the best pitchers out there as of right now, besides Dylan Bundy, as a rookie, as a prospect. And it's going to be good to see it. And he goes against Ryan Vogelsong. And Sunday, it is Adam Wainwright, who is 0-1 for the season right now, versus Kane, who is 0-0. Then they got a no decision, luckily, for that opening day game. And what I have is home opener. Even though everyone wants to see the Giants win, I think that the Giants are going to lose, especially throwing Zito out there first game. I think last year was just a lucky break for Barry Zito. And I think they lose Friday. They win Saturday because they're going against Shelby Miller, and it's his first start and everything. But then Sunday, I predict that they lose to Adam Wainwright with Kane going on the mound again. I think Kane will be he won't be as shaky as he was against the LA Dodgers. I think he'll be more stronger, especially with the home crowd and behind him and everything. But I think him going against the San Luis Cardinals is going to be a tough time. So I predict that they go 1-2 for the series. And they ended up in 5 minutes or less, hopefully, for a 30-minute show. We're going to end it with the Oakland A's recap. They had a four-game series against the Seattle Mariners. And I predicted that they would go 3-1, winning opening night for the first time in 8 seasons. Well, they went 2-2 and lost opening night. If there's one thing I hate more than Josh Hamilton or Mike Trout or the Angels or the Rangers or the Giants, it's got to be Felix Hernandez. I hate facing against Felix Hernandez, especially on opening night, because whoever makes the MLB schedules, can you please stop freaking having the A's face against the Seattle Mariners at home? It's such a bummer. It's like, opening night! Oh, we faced Felix Hernandez. We lost! I mean, it's such a bummer. So the first two games they lost, giving Anderson the first loss and Parker the first loss. And then also, game 3 and 4 were the first two wins for the A's this season, breaking right at 500, giving A.J. Griffin and Tommy Malone their first win of the season. It started off of opening night. Crowd was going nuts. I was there. It was a great sight to see. It was a packed Coliseum, of course, because it's opening night. No one can say that it was because of the bandwagoners from last year and everything. I've been to from the last 4 or 5 opening nights I've been to, it's always been sold out. Even when the team could be a total shit in the ass, it's always sold out. So opening night is always a sellout at the Oakland Coliseum. And it proved today, you know, the gold towels are raving back and forth. But it was a good start until the 5th inning when Brett Anderson gave up 2 runs. And it just, from there, it just, we knew we couldn't do anything with Felix Hernandez on the mound. And luckily, in the 8th inning, we had a little bit of hope with Derek Norris at bat with the bases loaded with 2 outs. But then Derek Norris grounds out and to the end of the inning, and all hope for the A's to win the game is shut down. And then game 2, it wasn't pretty either. They lost 7-1. And at first, when Suspense came out the bat in the 2nd inning, he gives you the 1-0 lead with a home run, his first home run of the year. You sit there and you're like, okay, this could be a good game. This could be a good season, too. It's the Spettis. And then out of nowhere, a 3-1 home run comes up by Michael Morris. And Michael Morris has to be the new banner, the new A-killer, besides Felix Hernandez. He puts up a 3-1 home run. They put the game to 3-1, and then the ones just kept on pounding and pounding Parker, pounding Balfour, everyone. And it wasn't a pretty sight to see. And as they lost 7-1, giving Parker his first loss of the year, he wasn't as the Parker that we all know from last year. He had a shaky start. But in Wednesday, good news. We won. We finally got our first win of the game. I'll be honest, the first inning, I got a little mad that Tommy Malone gave up 2 home runs, a leadoff home run, and another home run in the first inning. You know, I hate seeing that. Like I said, I hate seeing one of our star pitchers be given up like that, getting a run on. But luckily, they came back larger with two doubles, almost a double-doubles, like I'm at In-N-Out. With 2 doubles and a home run, and also Chris Young, in his Oakland A's debut, comes up with a home run. And Freeman, the young first baseman, hasn't even played anything above Double-A, comes up first at bat as an Oakland A, hits an RBI single. First hit, first RBI. I have nothing but hope for Nate Freeman. He has a good story behind him, and I'd be lucky enough to see if Freeman could go all the way this season. He seems like a good player, especially at his height and being at first base. I think he'd be something good to replace Chris Carter that we traded away. Thursday was also just as beautiful. 8-2 win against the rookie Maurer. Yeah, remember how I couldn't pronounce the name because obviously I didn't know who he was because he was also making his first start. Griffin was just beyond superior. He basically slapped me in the face saying, how could you say I was a dude bad? I thought he was going to be a little bit shaky, but Griffin came out strong. And also he had some offense behind him too, so that also helped too. Redick in the first inning, the beard scored, hits a 2-1 home run to right field bleachers. and starts it all off, and also Suspedes hit the two-run home run to give it up two. Lara went 2-for-4, had another double. But the way Lara has been playing, I said to myself, I just look at someone, I'm like, who's Nakajima? The way Lara is playing, if Lara can stay like this and be healthy, that's the main concern, is him being healthy. If Lara could be like this and be healthy, Nakajima is a good, solid backup for the A's, if anything. Or he's not even on the A's, maybe he's in AAA, maybe he's trade bait. But the way that Lara is playing is just beautiful right now. I want to see how he plays against a tougher team, though. That's why I can't wait for the LA Angels series at LA next week, also with the Detroit Tigers. I want to see how Lara and Chris Young and all these new guys can do against these tougher opponent teams, Verlander, Weaver, Hamilton, Pujols, you know? But with that, let's go with a preview to end everything off. A preview at Houston. First time the A's will be facing the new AL West opponent, Houston Astros. And Friday is going to be a good game. It'll be Dan Straley versus the former Oakland Athletic top prospect last year. We got him from the Geo trade, Brad Peacock. Saturday will be the first start of Teletubby, as I like to call him, Bartolo Colon versus Bedard. And Sunday will be Anderson, who is 0-1, versus Norris, who is 1-0, who won the first game of the season against the Texas Rangers that we all saw on Easter. But I am predicting that the A's go 3-0. There is no doubt in my mind that the A's should go 3-0 against the Houston Astros. It's a given. I even think Anderson will have a bounce-back start against Bud Norris and the Houston Astros. No disrespect to Astros, but you guys are the Houston Astros. So I predict a 3-0 start. And then we're going to go off and then go to L.A. You guys, and then go to Anaheim, go against the Angels. And that'll be a fun game to watch because Josh Hamilton. Who doesn't love Josh Hamilton right now? Especially if you're an A's fan. But besides that, thank you guys for listening. Make sure to tune in next time on Monday when we talk about the weekend, what's been going on, have some more recaps and more talking about baseball and football and hockey and basketball. Hell, maybe we'll talk about a little bit of tennis. Besides that, thank you guys for listening and tune into the next show and hope you guys have a good weekend.